You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
Nobody likes abortion, okay? But you can't tell somebody what to do. I mean, she has rights over this, especially if she doesn't like the guy that got her pregnant. Like, she doesn't want anything to do with your genes. Get over it.
That's Bill Nye, the Science Guy, speaking about abortion in a recently released video. Now, when someone who carries at least kind of the popular scientific authority of a guy like Bill Nye, who has a Bachelor of Science degree in mechanical engineering, people say, well, he's the science guy. He speaks for science. And in this video, he certainly claims to speak for science. He says you can't tell other people what to do. That's the bottom line for him when it comes to abortion. Joining us to respond to more of what Bill Nye had to say on abortion, Greg Kokel. He's president of Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California. And he's author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, thanks so much. You can tell I'm chomping at the bit. I'm really looking forward to talk to you about this.
I mean, in terms of kind of your set of tactics that you have laid out, which one is the best to respond to Bill Nye, who kind of threw all the spaghetti at the wall in his recent statements on abortion, accusing those who oppose it of ignorance and just about everything else?
Right. Well, two come to mind. In fact, it's so glaring that on my own show yesterday, I had somebody call in and say they're listening to Bill Nye, and they applied the they couldn't even. Within 30 seconds, they were seeing the problems of Bill Nye's. The two tactics that I would suggest are just the facts, ma'am, and the suicide tactic. And the just the facts, ma'am tactic is a tactic you employ where you simply appeal to the facts. Now, Nye says that's all he's doing. As a scientist, he is just appealing to the facts, and he basically, at the end of his talk, he's dismissive of those, you know, referring principally to Christians, I think, here, who are afraid of the facts. But the facts are the very things that he gets wrong in his assessment. The second one is the suicide tactic, where you find out, you observe that a line of argument defeats itself, and therefore commit suicide, and all you have to do is point that out. And he does that a number of times in his own treatment of this issue.
Well, let's hear from Bill Nye himself. The first thing he does out of the box is, I think, and this is intended to be the coup de grace at the very beginning, say that those who oppose abortion are simply ignorant of reproduction.
Many, 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 many more hundreds of eggs are fertilized than become humans. Eggs get fertilized, and by that I mean sperm get accepted by ova a lot. But that's not all you need. You have to attach to the uterine wall, the inside of a woman's womb. But if you're going to hold that as a standard, that is to say, if you're going to say when an egg is fertilized, it's therefore all has the same rights as an individual, then whom are you going to sue? Whom are you going to imprison? Every woman who's had a fertilized egg pass through her? Every guy whose sperm has fertilized an egg and then it didn't become a human? Have all these people failed you? It's just a reflection of a deep scientific lack of understanding. And you apparently literally don't know what you're talking about.
So where would you go in responding to Bill Nye's statements?
Well, it's a great way to start. He lays his points out, I think, fairly clearly. It's not difficult to see his line of reasoning. He starts out with a factual statement. Many, many, many more hundreds of eggs are fertilized than become humans. He's absolutely, well, let me just pause for a minute. Many hundreds of eggs are fertilized that do not survive is really the point. But notice that in his statement, which is factually true as far as we've gone, he has made a philosophic distinction. He says many more hundreds of eggs are fertilized than become humans. So what he continues to refer to as a fertilized egg is not the same as a human being in his view. So he makes one fact that is obvious, and he combines it with another subtle claim that is simply false. That is, that there are such things as fertilized eggs that do not become humans but need something else. And what he says is, and that's his statement, by the way, but that's not all you need. You have to attach to the uterine wall. So they have to be in the right location to be what? To be humans? He doesn't actually carry that out, but that certainly is the implication. Well, first of all, just as a matter of fact, there is no such thing as a fertilized egg. That is, eggs do get fertilized, but when they're fertilized, they're no longer eggs that are fertilized, they're human beings. And that is basic foundational science. It's basic embryology. And let me just read from Medical Embryology by Sadler and Langman. This is a seventh edition. This is a basic medical text in embryology. Quote, "The development of a human begins with fertilization, a process by which the spermatozoa from the male and the oocyte from the female unite to give rise to a new organism, the zygote." So the zygote isn't a fertilized egg. The egg is gone. The sperm is gone. The zygote remains. It is a new human being according to basic embryology. And I need to emphasize for your listeners, Todd, this is not scientifically controversial. Bill Nye, the science guy, has gotten his embryology flat out wrong from the very first line of his critique. And he continues with this presumption all the way through with more faltering. The irony is he said at the end of the piece that you just played, there is this, it's just a reflection of a deep scientific lack of understanding, and you literally or apparently literally don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, Dr. Nye, Bill Nye, I don't even know what his credentials are. I know he's some kind of mechanical engineer. So he's a little bit out of his depth here, speaking of embryology and philosophy and actually legality. That's part of his first shot over the bow. Doesn't mean he can't have educated opinions, but just because he's a medical, a scientist in his field of engineering doesn't mean that he gets the science that he's speaking of correctly, and he doesn't. That's my point. I don't know what his point is about, okay, who are you going to sue? Well, this has nothing to do with anything. Why does people die at all stages of life, from the very beginning of the life of life, which the embryological textbooks say starts at fertilization, to the very end of natural life? People die for all kinds of reasons and all kinds of natural causes. He identified some of those in the early stages. Why should anybody sue for any of that? Why should anybody go to jail for that? It's a complete irrelevant red herring. It has nothing to do with the discussion, and it just confuses the issue. So Bill Nye is off on the wrong foot to begin with by assuming that the what so-called fertilized egg, the zygote, is not a human being when, in fact, embryology teaches it is a full human being. Now, what rights accrue to that human being is a separate question, but that is not a scientific question. That is a philosophic question.
Greg Kokel is our guest, president of Standard Reason. We're responding to recent abortion statements made by Bill Nye, the science guy, and a little bit later, actress Whoopi Goldberg as well. When we come back, more from Nye, where he says we got better things to talk about than abortion. Stay tuned.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain?
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
A daily dose of Luther is good for the soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
We have so many more important things to be dealing with. We have so many more problems. To squander resources on this argument based on bad science, on just lack of understanding, it's very frustrating. You wouldn't know how big a human egg was if it weren't for microscopes, if it weren't for scientists who are medical researchers looking diligently. You wouldn't know the process. You wouldn't have that shot, the famous shot or shots where the sperm are bumping up against the egg. You wouldn't have that without science. So then to claim that you know the next step when you obviously don't, at some point we have to respect the facts.
That's Bill Nye the Science Guy from his statement recently in his video on abortion where he says, look, we got more important things to talk about than abortion. Besides, science is the source of everything we know about all of this. How do we respond to that? We're doing that with Greg Kokel here on Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon. Greg, what is going on here with Nye's statement, we have bigger fish to fry, so to speak?
Well, that's an assessment, a prudential assessment of what's really important. And, of course, your decision about what's really important is based on the gravity of the issues in front of us. And he seems to think that the abortion question has no gravity whatsoever because a human being is not being sacrificed. Of course, he only talked about the very, very earliest stages of pregnancy. He never talked about what happens afterwards. And anybody who's seen pictures of embryos that are even 10 weeks old, it becomes very clear that what you're dealing with is a developing human being. He never addresses that thing at all. But he simply dismisses the broad moral question by talking about cells, simple cells, and women's rights, and therefore acts like the issue at stake is not important at all, and there are many, many other things that have that deserve our time much more. Well, okay, well, if he's right and we're just talking about sloughing off a few cells that have no moral value, well, then there are a lot more important things. However, if he's not correct and he makes no case whatsoever in his entire presentation that he is right, he makes no case, then if he's not right and human beings are being sacrificed through abortion, well, then this ought to be considered of the most critical questions that we can answer. Let me put it in perspective here. As if he's saying that there are more important things that we can discuss than the same number of lives lost on 9/11. Remember that day? 2,977 people lost their lives on 9/11. That is the same number of children that die through abortion here in America every single day for the last 40-plus years. Now, if we were having planes plowing into skyscrapers every single day with the loss of life around 3,000 per day, do you think Bill Nye would say, well, I'm sorry, we don't have to worry about that. We've got more important things to discuss. No, I don't think so. So the real question comes down to, and it's very basic, and we emphasize this all the time at Stand to Reason, what is the unborn? Bill Nye has dismissed the unborn with an embryologically inaccurate claim that the unborn, in the earliest stages at least, since he doesn't address the later stages, is not a human being. It needs something more than just to be a zygote to be a real human being. And he intimates that location is part of that. And that was in the first quote. But obviously, location has no bearing on a person's value. You know, I don't lose my value when I walk across the street or roll over in bed, for goodness sake. How does a human being lose its value just because it's domiciled inside of a woman's womb? I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all.
The other thing that he did there was, and it was, he didn't finish his statement. He said, well, we wouldn't even know about all this stuff with regard to fertilization and the egg,
right,
and that if it weren't for science, and I was expecting him, he got so frustrated he had to kind of stop himself at one point. I was expecting him to say, so just listen to me. I'm a scientist.
Right.
What is that appeal? Science has brought us all this knowledge. Science should be able to tell you that abortion is A-OK.
Yes, I think he's trading on his laurels there, his credentials as a scientist. But this is a Rhodes Scholar tactical move here, and that is just because he's a scientist doesn't mean he knows what he's talking about in the particular issues he's discussing. As it turns out, he's a mechanical engineer. He's discussing embryology. He gets his basic embryology facts wrong. And this is the way the tactic is employed. You say, okay, I respect what you're saying, Bill, from your position of authority, but I need to look a little closer to see if your claims are actually accurate. It turns out they're not with regards to the science. And secondly, he goes far beyond the science. He gets into philosophy and rights. Whether a woman has a right to anything is not a scientific question. Science is incapable of inveighing in any discussion regarding rights, because it doesn't deal with those things. It deals with descriptive things, not prescriptive things. And the way you're approaching this here, we're analyzing this, is exactly right, I think, Todd. And that is, we take the statements that he makes, and let's just, okay, we're not going to get upset, we're not going to put him down, we're not going to get all nervous, we're not going to call him names, we're just going to break the argument down into its pieces and ask ourselves, okay, how does this work to support his point? Let's look at the pieces on the merits. And the piece that we just heard, well, if it wasn't for science, microscopes and medical researchers, we wouldn't even be able to see the zygote. Okay, well, he's absolutely right on that. But I don't see what bearing such an observation has on the whole question of the morality of abortion. It's like he's taking one field and he's trying to trump us with their skill as scientists, and therefore we should just believe his view as a scientist that abortion is wrong. By the way, there are lots of scientists, I'm sorry, that abortion is okay. There are lots of scientists that think that abortion is wrong. And so being a scientist is not enough to allow you to come to the conclusion. Scientists could tell you, you know, about electrons and moving around the nucleus of an atom and that kind of stuff. It might tell you about photosynthesis. It could tell you about embryology. But it cannot tell you about rights. It cannot tell you about what you ought to do with the information you have. That is a different field. And he is trying to trump the philosophical moral question of whether this is really a question of rights of a woman to her own body, and maybe we can get to that in a minute. He's trying to trump that with simple appeals to the skills of scientists who now, boy, if without them we wouldn't even know anything about embryology. Well, yeah, that's true, but it's utterly irrelevant to the point that he's making, and I hope people can see that.
Greg Kokel is our guest. He's president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. When we come back, we'll hear from Bill Nye again, saying that abortion laws don't do anyone any good. We'll be right back.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Recommending or insisting on abstinence has been completely ineffective. Just being objective here. Closing abortion clinics, not giving women access to birth control has not been an effective way to lead to healthier societies. I think we all know that. And I understand that you have deeply held beliefs and you want to, and it really is ultimately out of respect for people, in this case, your perception of unborn people. I understand that. But I really encourage you to look at the facts. And I know people are now critical of the expression fact-based. Well, what's wrong with that? So I just really encourage you to not tell women what to do and not pursue these laws that really are in nobody's best interest. Just really be objective about this. We have other problems to solve, everybody. Come on.
That's Bill Nye, the Science Guy, again, kind of marshaling his arguments, if you can call them that, against abortion laws. We have better things to talk about. The laws don't do anyone any good, and nothing we've tried helps. So let's stop talking about it, please. Greg Kokel is our guest responding to these statements from Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and a little bit later, actress Whoopi Goldberg on abortion. Greg, what are the unstated assumptions behind statements like Nye saying these laws against abortion are not in anyone's best interests?
Yeah, well, he makes some factual claims, and he says, now he's talking about sexual activity when he says abstinence doesn't work. Well, this is just okay. Let me ask a question here, Dr. Nye. You're the science guy. If a person does not have sexual intercourse, do you think that means that then there will not be pregnancies that end in abortion? Of course that's what it means. No intercourse, no pregnancies, no abortions. So to say that abstinence doesn't work as a method is just flat out ridiculously and obviously false. Now, what he might be saying is, as a policy, it's not practical. Well, okay, well, that might be true in certain circumstances. My experience with the environments where abstinence is taught and encouraged is that it has worked. I mean, I'm looking at my own life. I was abstinent for 25 years after I became a Christian. It worked for me. But when it comes to sexual behavior, a lot of people, especially from the left, they think, oh, it's just unkind to ask kids to just say no, but they don't have that attitude about drugs. Why haven't we said, well, look at just say no, that doesn't work? Isn't part of the moral training of our children a matter of teaching them restraint and helping them to just say no to things that are not good? So that's just one issue. That has to do with maybe a policy concern, how you approach this. The people who have employed this half-heartedly, they haven't maybe gotten the results they wanted, so they abandon it. But it's not the case that the policy doesn't work. It does work, okay? But then he makes another point. Then he says that closing abortion clinics and denying people birth control is not the right answer. Well, wait, those are two different things, aren't they? Closing abortion clinics means you stop women killing their babies once they have been conceived. Birth control, this is actually an unfortunate phrase because abortion is a kind of birth control. Birth is when you give birth to the baby. If you kill the baby before it's born, that's birth control. The concern really should be contraception. Can we keep babies from being conceived? Now, some Christians have a problem with that. I don't. Classically Roman Catholics, but I don't. And there are no restrictions legally, and nobody's making the case that contraception should be denied. And this is kind of what he implies. But closing abortion clinics should be done for the reasons that we give, that abortion takes the life of an innocent human being without proper justification, and therefore abortion itself is wrong. It's de facto homicide. And so he just groups them all together, doesn't make the distinction, which means he's not being careful about the argument. He's not creating the distinctions that are important to make a proper critical assessment of the issue. He's throwing them all together as if you're against killing unborn children, then that means you're against contraception. And, you know, come on. And this is what he's saying at the end. Come on, can't we just all get along? You didn't include that in the clip, but that was the last thing he said. Can't we just all work together on this? Well, no, obviously you can't work together on this because you have a point of view that you will not budge on. Ironically, he says also in the statement, he says, you know, you can't tell other people what to do. Huh. Bill Nye, are you telling us what we should do in this four-minute video clip? Of course he is. He's weighing on this issue, and he's offering a strong exhortation for pro-abortion, pro-lifers to cease and desist. All right, that's fine with me, but I'm not the person who's saying that we shouldn't be telling people what to do. He's the guy who says we shouldn't be telling people what to do, but the phrase itself is telling people what to do, and the video itself is telling people what to do. So this is a disingenuous statement, Todd, and it's a classic example of the suicide tactic. His own statements and his own argument can't meet their own requirement here, and they self-destruct when you take his statements at plain sense. Did you also play, I'm not sure if you played the one where he talks about taking things from an ancient book that's 5,000 years old? Was that part of that clip? I don't remember.
No, let's listen to the next one, see if it's there.
When it comes to women's rights with respect to their reproduction, I think you should leave it to women. It's really, you cannot help but notice. I mean, I'm not the first guy to observe this. You have a lot of men of European descent passing these extraordinary laws based on ignorance. Sorry, you guys. I know it was written, or your interpretation of a book written 5,000 years ago, 50 centuries ago, makes you think that when a man and a woman have sexual intercourse, they always have a baby. That's wrong. And so to pass laws based on that belief is inconsistent with nature.
So what do you make of his 5,000-year-old book argument?
Well, there's a lot there to respond to. Does he really think that people who appeal to the book, there he's referring to the Bible, believe that every single time you have sexual intercourse, you have a baby? That's what he said. Does he really think that Christians believe that? he makes a comment there in that quote about extraordinary laws based on ignorance. That, in again, I'm trying to be descriptive here, Todd, not abusive. That is one of the most extraordinarily ignorant things I have ever heard an educated man say in my life, that Christians seem to believe, based on what was taught in a book that was written 5,000 years ago. So now he's got his dates wrong. Okay, it's 2,000 to 3,500 years. Okay, we'll let that slide for the moment. That he thinks that we believe, we are so barefoot and pregnant, stupid ignoramuses that we think that every time a person has intercourse, they have a baby. That's what he said. Now, maybe he misspoke and he'd take it back if he thought about it more. But there's more problems in what he said. When he starts out by saying, so when it comes to a woman's right with respect to reproduction, I think you should leave it to the woman. Now, he assumes that a woman has the right to abortion in virtue of the reproductive question. We should leave it to the woman. Now, here's a parallel for you. And to me, it is a precise and perfect parallel, and if it's not, you can pick it apart, but I've looked at this carefully. Listen to this statement. He says, when it comes to a woman's right to respect with respect to reproduction, to a woman's right with respect to reproduction, I think you should leave it to the woman. Here's the parallel. When it comes to slavery, you should leave the question up to the slave owner. After all, the slave is his property. Instead, now you have a situation where a lot of non-slave owners are trying to dictate to slave owners what rights they have over their own property. Now, you see, in the parallel, the objection immediately is, and appropriately, of course, the question of the enslaved human beings being property of the slave owner is precisely what's at issue. And so you can't just assume that's correct and then say, okay, let's leave it to the slave owners. But that's exactly what Bill Nye has done with regards to abortion. The question of whether a woman has a right to do whatever she wants with the human being growing inside of her is precisely the issue here. And so Nye's point is a very classic exercise of circular reasoning. He assumes what he needs to demonstrate and then says we should leave it up to the woman. Now, as for the observation that, well, you know, I can't, other people have made this observation that a lot of men of European descent passing these extraordinary laws based on ignorance. Sorry, guys, I know it was written 5,000 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Look it. Arguments do not have genders, okay? As far as I could tell, Bill Nye is a man of European descent who is vigorously weighing in on the abortion issue, but he is disqualifying other men of European descent from weighing in on the issue against him. Not only that, the Supreme Court, who decided Roe versus Wade, was a group of men of European descent who actually started this thing going in, what, 1972 or 1973. So it's an exercise, again, in another fallacy called a genetic fallacy, where you fault the point of view based on the source it comes from. And the same thing is going on when he says this is about an interpretation of a book written 5,000 years ago. Well, look, at none of my arguments are based on the Bible. None of them. And I don't hear people in the public square arguing from the Bible. So when Nye characterizes our arguments as biblical arguments, then he is misrepresenting our view. That is called a straw man. Instead of dealing with the issues, which it seems to me he has never listened to a reasoned pro-life argument. And there are plenty of them out there. Has he read Scott Klusendorf? Has he read Robbie George? Has he read Frank Beckwith? I mean, I can't believe he has, you know, but he counts himself an educated man in being able to respond to these issues. And as for the Bible being written thousands of years ago, I just don't understand how the age of an idea has any bearing on its validity. Science is based to a great degree on principles Aristotle put in play 2,400 years ago. And without those principles, those laws of logic, etc., that Aristotle put into play, or itemized, or whatever. He didn't invent them. He observed them and quantified them. Without those, science isn't going to be able to work. But can we say, oh, man, come on, Bill, are you kidding me? You're going back to, like, some ancient guy who didn't even have an iPhone? What does he know? This is a ridiculous argument. It's a ridiculous way. It's an embarrassing way of arguing. We have to address, he has to address, the ideas proper and not dismiss them due to age. That's just another example of a genetic fallacy. What I like, in a sense, Todd, about Nye's approach here is it's just a classic example of a radically poorly argued point of view. There are people who can make the case against the pro-life view in a much more sophisticated and sound fashion. Now, I don't think their arguments go through. Maybe sound isn't the right word. I would say a valid way. They can do it much more valid. But this is so completely littered with factual inaccuracies and informal fallacies, circular reasoning, self-defeating statements, facts that are just not facts at all, red herrings that have nothing to do with anything at all, genetic fallacies. They're all in this wonderful 4-minute video. So when people reading it, unfortunately, are going to be, or listening to it, are going to be taken in by it because they have no skill to assess these things. But if somebody took the statements as you're doing, and just let's just do them one by one and look at the claims. How is he developing his argument? And then look at the pieces based on the merits. You'll see that every single one of them falls to the ground immediately upon consideration. There is nothing in this entire thing that in the least wise commends his view of pro-choice.
When we come back, we will hear from another celebrity expert, this one Whoopi Goldberg of The View, saying that abortion is no place in the Ten Commandments, so what's wrong with it? And we'll get Greg's response. Stay tuned.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
This is the first time the church has said out loud, listen, we don't want you to have an abortion, but I understand why women do. That's what he said.
Yeah. But Joy, I want to come back. You said he's still pro-life, and you listed a couple of other things. But don't you think that's what makes him so unique? He's still standing by his values because he doesn't think those change. They don't change with the wind like the culture does. But he's doing it with compassion.
Let's make sure that the Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments. There's only ten.
That's an excerpt from a recent episode of ABC's The View. Whoopi Goldberg saying that the Ten Commandments say nothing about abortion. So what's the problem with abortion? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Greg Kokel is our guest. He's president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, and author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, what do you make of this? What tactic would you use to respond to Goldberg's assertion that abortion isn't in the Ten Commandments?
Well, I guess just the facts, ma'am, here is an appropriate tactic. She said there are Ten Commandments and only ten. Well, there are only ten of the Ten Commandments, but there are hundreds of commandments in the Old Testament. This is a summary of things that are most important, okay? So when she says, well, you know, you shouldn't be judging people, or a woman has a right to do with her own body, well, none of that is in the Ten Commandments either. Now, I think what she's trying to do is simply adopt our source of authority and try to argue against our view from our own source of authority. And that's a noble approach, but she just gets it wrong. And this, I think, was Bill O'Reilly made the point that the Sixth Commandment says, thou shalt not, well, he misquoted it and said, thou shalt not kill, and that's not what it says. It says, thou shalt not murder, and there are different Hebrew words for killing and murder. The Old Testament is not against killing. It's against the unjustified taking of human life, which is called murder, okay? Thou shalt not murder. So now the question becomes, is taking the life of an unborn an example of murder from the biblical perspective? So if Whoopi wants to work from our source of authority, then what she has to do is take the whole thing as it pertains to this question seriously. Yes, even what she cited says you shall not murder, okay? Is taking an unborn child's life an example of murder? If you go to Exodus 21:22, which is all part of the same law, there are guidelines given for what happens when a spontaneous abortion, if you will, happens. And that is, it's often translated miscarriage there, but it's a false translation because the word simply means to come out. It says nothing about whether or not the child is alive or dead. Miscarriage implies the child dies. The text says, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so the child comes forth, yet there is no injury, he shall be fined and pay as the justice. But if there is injury, you shall appoint as penalty life for life. So here, the same Mosaic law that Whoopi is citing seems to indicate that that one that is in the womb, that is forced out through a violent action and then dies, is the kind of human being that, if killed, requires capital punishment, consistent with the law, with other examples of killing human beings. And if you fast forward to the book of Luke, which this is where I think a lot of Christians who want to make their case in the Bible, they miss this particular point. They go to the Psalms or something like that. And look, go to Luke chapter 1. You have the visitation. Mary is told by the angel she's going to conceive, and conceive she does. And she is also told that her cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age in her sixth month. So Mary is in her first trimester. Elizabeth is in the end of her second trimester. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby, the text says, leaps in her womb. Now, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy earlier in the chapter that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. John the Baptist would be, not a fetus who would later become the human being known as, but rather John the Baptist, that individual. And the reason John the Baptist, in the second trimester, leapt with joy, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is because John the Baptist was in the presence of, as Elizabeth puts it, my Lord. How is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, at the sound of your greeting, it reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. So here is a text that clearly identifies the born John the Baptist, second trimester, as himself, and Jesus in the first trimester as the Lord, as himself, so that taking those lives in utero would have been an example of the kind of murder prohibited in the Ten Commandments that Whoopi Goldberg was quoting. So again, just the sophisticated, just the facts, ma'am. You want to quote our view, Whoopi? All right, that's fair enough. That's fair to do. I believe in that approach, but you better get our view right. And you didn't get our view right, and so you stumbled badly.
Greg Kokel is president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California. He is author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. You can purchase Tactics at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Greg, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. I really appreciate talking with you about this issue.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our regular weekly series with him is called Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be there at the creation of both man and woman, finding Christ in every aspect of that. We'll have Chris Roseborough alongside for our weekly feature, This Week in Pop American Christianity. And since it's Friday, we will be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week tomorrow on Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. Journal has an article that I've written called All Things to All Men. You've often heard Paul quoted there, maybe by even by your own pastor or some church growth guru, that means where he says, look, what Paul is telling there us is that we need to be as much like the culture around us as possible. We need to adopt the ways and the ideas of the culture around us in order to communicate with people. That is pretty much the opposite of what Paul is actually saying there. You can read all about it in the online Issues Etc. journal, absolutely free. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a red button. Click on that, enter your email address, and you are subscribed absolutely free to the online Issues Etc. journal. Pastor David Wan has also written about his journey from liberal Lutheranism and quasi-semi-Lutheranism to the real thing in the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Look for the big red button. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.